This is the IPSI SDA Media Network.
Today, I want to begin a three-part series from the book Song of Songs, also referred to as the Song of Solomon. Next Sabbath, I'll be preaching this message, "Oh, How I Love Him So." If you were to miss a message, it should have been today. Next Sabbath, I will be speaking on, "Oh, How I Love Him So." Then the next Sabbath, I will conclude the third part with, "He's very much central and so much more." You got to hear that message. He is very much central and so much more. But today, I would like to speak on the subject, thorns and lilies. T-H-O-R-N-S. Thorns and lilies. When I think of the word thorn, I'm a Guyanese, and I grew up, and the word I knew, I don't know where they got it from, they call it plimpla, something that is prickly, something that was not good if you got stuck by it. Today, we're going to be talking about thorns and lilies. In the text for today, I'd like you to read a couple of texts with me today. They would not be on the screen except this one. You would turn to the book of Song of Songs, and you will find the second chapter. And we will also read from chapter 1 of the same book, verse 6. So those are just the three passages we'll read today. And I want you to read this now with me. "I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. Like a lily among thorns is my darling among the young women." This book, Song of Songs, holds a very special place in the Word of God. While much of the Bible deals with history and with doctrine, Song of Songs is a collection, watch it now, it's a collection of love songs. These songs detail the love life of King Solomon and one of his many wives. The Bible says that this king had a lot of wives. A lot of wives plus some concubines. We don't know how he kept up. 700 wives and 300 concubines. And there are many beautiful passages in this book that can teach couples a lot about how to love one another. It is a practical book for husbands and wives. However, there are some who feel that this book should not have a place among Holy Writ, among the canon. I must confess that I have only preached twice from this book. And both times, it was at a wedding. It was at a wedding. This book, after all, is filled with explicit descriptions of romantic love between a husband and a wife. In this book, there is some Lionel Richie and Diana Ross, Endless Love. In this book, you will find some Luther, Here and Now, So Amazing. In this book, you may find even, let's say, some Marvin Gaye. Ooh, when I get that feeling. Yes, it's a book of romance. The book, however, Song of Songs, is only one of two books in the Bible that does not mention God. Nowhere in Song of Songs you will find God being mentioned. The other book is the book of Esther. The only two books in the Bible where God is not mentioned. However, when it comes to the Song of Songs, some people believe that the omission of God is very controversial. And for some, it shouldn't be in Holy Writ. However, upon careful reading of this book, you will find that it gives a clear picture of God's love for His church. The bride is often referred to in Scripture as the church, and the groom is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. In its pages, in Song of Songs, we can see a clear picture of the love relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and those who are saved by grace. I am the rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys, like a lily among thorns, is my darling among the young women. The context of this, of these verses is a portrait being painted as to what the Lord thinks about His people. Just what God thinks about His people. Stop for a moment. Have you ever felt unloved? So unloved that sometimes you think that even God doesn't care for you? If that's the case, this message is for you. And I will be giving 3 points today that I would like you to carry with you when we think of this message today. The first point is what I would call a precious comparison. A precious comparison. That is, Solomon compares his bride to a flower. He compares his bride to a flower. When we think of flowers, we think of something of God's creation that is beautiful. This woman, the Shunammite woman, seems to be a nobody until Solomon, the king, puts his eyes upon her. Wait a minute. Hold it right there. How many times have people looked upon you, thought that you were nothing, and you walked away feeling like you were nothing? Maybe you did not measure up, but the king puts his eyes upon you, telling you that you are indeed something. We are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Yes, we may be clay, and some may think we are nothing, but God says there is beauty in us. When we think of a flower, we not only think of beauty, but we also think of fragrance. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15 says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved. In other words, if you think of yourself as nothing, you're not beautiful and you're not smelling right. God says that when He comes into the picture, you become a sweet favor in His nostrils for them that are saved. People chase beauty all the time. I looked up to see just how much we spend on trying to look beautiful and smell good. Globally, consumers spend an estimated, listen to this now, $382 billion on beauty or cosmetic products each year. That's a whole lot of money to look good and to smell good. Globally, $382 billion being spent on looking good and smelling good. Skincare products will represent about $135 billion globally by 2021. Lucentel, a research group, tells us that by 2021, we will be spending $135 billion on skincare alone. Now, let me just talk about the ladies. The average woman spends about $313 per month on her appearance. And that includes everything. That includes facials, nails, waxing, hair, all of that stuff. This adds up to about $3,756 for a year. And if you want to calculate it over the course of a lifetime, we're talking approximately $225,360. That's a lot of money. But hold a minute. You see, we men, we don't like to be left behind. And so when it comes to men, according to Groupon's figures, men spend on average about $2,928 a year, which works out to about $244 a month, on looking good and smelling good. That amount comes up to about $175,680 in a lifetime. Yes, it's 25% less than what women spend. But you know what you can do with $175,000? You can get you a Bentley. But that's the kind of money we spend on looking good and smelling good. Jesus is referred to as the lily of the valley. The bride is given beauty because she now is recognized by the greatest lover ever, Jesus Christ himself. And when we think of a precious comparison, I would like you to stop for a moment in whatever state you find yourself and tell yourself that Jesus compares you to a flower. That's what he compares you to. And he compares you to the lily, and the lily smells good, and the lily looks good. It's a precious comparison. I grew up in a street called Carmichael Street, one block away from a garden called the Promenade Garden, a garden that I would use as a shortcut from my high school to my home. Yes, had a lot of flowers, but that garden did not have a pond. And to see a pond, P-O-N-D, I had to go to the larger garden, which is known as the Botanical Gardens, and they had a pond in there, and they had lilies in the pond. The pond looks swampy. It doesn't look attractive. But the lilies were beautiful. You had different hues in terms of color. And Jesus told his disciples that Solomon, the king, as arrayed as he was never as beautiful as the lily. And so when Jesus compares you and I to a lily, that's a precious comparison. Not only do we have a precious comparison in these verses, but we also have a pointed contrast. Point number two, we have a pointed contrast. The bride is contrasted with thorns. Yes, thorns, these prickly things. The picture is painted of lilies compared to thorns. Well, when you examine a lily, you will never find lilies in a thorn patch. But Jesus makes the comparison to make a point. Here is this Shunammite woman, and Solomon is saying to her, I've looked at a lot of women, and when I look at you, they are like thorns and you are like the lily. It's a pointed contrast. Thorns are ugly. More importantly, they can cause pain. They can make you bleed. Solomon tells this bride, you, when compared to thorns, they don't stand a chance. My question to you today is, how do you stand out? All of us at some point may have experienced being in the company of those who may consider themselves all of that and a bag of chips. You know what I mean. You don't have the hair. You don't have the shape. You don't have the color. You don't have the looks. And sometimes you may feel that you stand out for the wrong reason. Please don't look at me. Jesus is saying to us today that we are not thorns, we are lilies. We can think of the comparison of light and darkness. Jesus tells us that before we knew him, we were in darkness. But then he says that when we receive him, when we accept what he is giving to us freely, he says, now we are light. And he says, if you are light, a city that is set upon a hill cannot be hidden. Matthew 5:14. Jesus says, we are not thorns, we are lilies. We are not darkness, we are light. And so let our light shine before men so that they may see us and give glory to God who is in heaven. Sin, you see, has a way of making us look ugly. It's like when sin comes into the picture, beauty disappears. But there is something about Solomon and his bride. Solomon says, when I see you as a lily in the valley. The valley can be a low place. Hello? The valley can be a place of depression. The valley can be a place of despair. The valley can be a place of discouragement. The valley can be a place where it says, you are not good enough. But when Jesus comes into the life of the lost sinner, that person, by the work of grace, becomes attractive. So this morning, a pointed contrast is thorns don't know Jesus. Lilies are like Jesus. Thorns hurt. They prick. They cause you to bleed. And the decision for us today is to determine if we want to stand out like a thorn or like a lily. We are told by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Oh, and I love this verse. For we are his workmanship. Hello? Hold a minute right there. Workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Workmanship. It takes me back to Genesis, where the Bible says Jesus knelt down and he took the dust of the ground and he began to form and to mold and to make. It's kind of interesting that the very word of God says that Jesus spake and it was done. It says that he commanded and it stood fast. But when it came to us, he took the time to form us. Workmanship. God is still working. He is in the workmanship business. So when others are telling you that you're not good enough, we are his workmanship. We don't come out because of our skill. We don't get to become because of our accomplishments. What we become in Christ is as a result of his workmanship. Hold a minute. Let it sink in. Don't go praising yourself. Don't make your arms so long trying to congratulate yourself. We are his workmanship. And just remember that we are still a work in progress. We are indeed unworthy to stand before him in our natural condition. I like how the Message translation puts it. Isaiah 64 verse 6. It says, we are all sin infected. Did you get that? We're all sin infected, sin contaminated. Our best efforts are grease stained rags. Let me say that again. We're all sin infected, sin contaminated. Our best efforts are like grease stained rags. Isn't it wonderful what God can do to grease-stained rags? Some that you know may think of you as a thorn. But Jesus, in this allegory with Solomon, calls you his lily. When you contrast thorns and lilies, growing up among prickly thorns is like having doves being among vultures or having lamb among sharp-toothed wolves. Maybe you stand out, but make sure you are standing out as a lily, as a lamb, and as a dove. Even though you may be in the company of vultures, of thorns, or of wolves. So God says, we are a precious comparison. a pointed contrast. Now let's look at a priceless comfort. A precious comparison. We are compared to flowers. A pointed contrast. We are not thorns, we are lilies. I want you to read with me now, Song of Songs, chapter 1 and verse 6. Just take your Bibles and read with me what it says. This is the bride speaking. I want you to get how she feels about herself. The bride is speaking. Look not upon me, because I am black. Because the sun had looked upon me, my mother's children were angry with me. Hold a minute right there. Have you been in families where some are of a lighter hue than the others? Same mother and father, but genetically coming out with different shades. It's amazing. We live in a culture where we are conditioned to see light as bright and right. And so while we're fighting racism on one hand, sometimes we are also fighting colorism. Oh, yes, yes, I said it. That right within families, some who are of a lighter hue may consider themselves better just by the color of their skin. And sometimes those who are of a darker hue may be haters of those who are of a lighter hue. We need to be careful. Look not upon me, because I am black. Because the sun had looked upon me, my mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. But my own vineyard have I not kept. They put me to work on getting the grapes ready, and I couldn't take care of myself. And when you are in the vineyard, you're out in the sun. You're going to be dark. What is this bright feeling? Her self-confidence is almost non-existent. Hello? Have you ever felt, maybe academically, you don't measure up? Somebody told you you're not good enough, you're not going to make it. Somebody told you get a janitorial job. Nothing is wrong with a janitorial job, but they're telling you that because they feel you don't have the brain. Here she is with self-confidence non-existent. She thinks she's ugly and unappealing. The Lord had appeared unto me saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. This is what God is saying to anyone who believes that you're not good enough. God's antidote for this woman who says, look, look at me, I'm black. They don't like me. And black hair can be a metaphor for anything that isn't good. Look at me, I don't have degrees. Look at me, I've never been married. Look at me, I'm not much. God wants us to know that he had loved us with an everlasting love. That's what Jeremiah says. The Lord had appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Thorns, yes, and lilies. Jeremiah reminds us not to get to the place where you forget that God loves you with an everlasting love. And he's constantly drawing you to himself. Jeremiah 31:3. The mirror or your associates may describe you in other terms. But what Solomon is saying in this verse is that he is giving you his beauty. Jesus says, I am the lily of the valley. Stop and think about it. If Jesus describes himself as the lily of the valleys, valley being low, no matter where you are, there is beauty. Watch this now. He says, not only do I consider myself the lily of the valley, but I'm going to make you the lily of the valley too. That's powerful. That while others may consider you a thorn, Jesus considers you a lily. Thorns and lilies. Jesus says, I'm going to make you just like me. So there is no need to walk around thinking you are ugly, thinking you are nothing, because in God's eyes, you are beautiful. Jesus considers us. Jesus continues to love us. And more than anything else, Jesus continues to claim us. I love that. That in whatever state you find yourself, Jesus considers us. He continues to love us, and he claims us. This is the Jesus that I serve. So today, Jesus says, a precious comparison. I'm comparing you to a flower. A flower has beauty and fragrance. You may not have that naturally, and others may say you don't have it. But Jesus says that when he thinks of you, he compares you to this flower. And then there is a pointed contrast. The contrast is with thorns and lilies. You will never find a thorn patch where lilies grow. But Jesus, through Solomon, wants to make the point that when it comes to you, you stand out. And you stand out because of him. Don't stand out for anything else other than the contrast Jesus makes for you. And yes, there is a priceless comfort. God, they send black. And they use blackness to represent everything that is bad. Jesus says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. In other words, don't walk away thinking that you are subject to being defined and described by people. Let Jesus describe and define you. And that ought to bring comfort. So today, as we conclude this message, the thought that I'd like to leave with you is the one that I've been sharing with you. You may not think you are good enough. You may consider yourself a thorn, but Jesus says, you are his lily. He says, he is the lily. And then he gives you himself. That makes you priceless. May God continue to watch over us. Even as we look towards the second part of this message. Father in heaven, today we may have come to a place where we don't think we're good enough. We don't measure up. We hear it all the time. Criticisms left, right, and center. And from the morning, midday, and noon, we are reminded, our own proclivities remind us of what we are not. But we pray today that we will accept the fact of the description that you've declared us to be lilies. And even when we're in the valley of despair, dejection, depression, we can count on you, because it doesn't matter how low we are, you can lift us up. Accept our worship today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.